Welcome to Healing Your Families. This is the last in our series on confronting abuse. Next week, we'll be starting a new series on nurturing our children. And I'm taking this opportunity to provide a transition between these two topics. Of course, we care deeply about our children. We want to do everything we can to protect them from abuse in any form, especially in their own home. And we want more than just a safe childhood. We want them to grow and flourish and reach their potential. These children are a precious gift from God, and we have a very sacred responsibility to not only keep them safe and protected, but also to prepare them to become the people they can become, to become their best selves. So today, I want to share with you 5 ways that you can have a positive influence on your children. Now, we've come a long way from the times when we thought that children came as a blank slate for parents to write on. We know that's just not the case. They come with their own personalities, their own unique qualities, their own gifts and talents to share with the world. We don't control them. We wouldn't want to if we could, because it wouldn't make either of us happy. But we are in a unique position to have a great deal of influence on our children. When children are young, you're the hero of their life. The whole world centers around you. They love you. They want to be like you. They want to be with you. They want to do what you're doing. And during this sacred, special time, you have that opportunity to bless them with a very powerful influence. And sometimes we think of it begins at birth. As soon as you hold your child for the first time, you're assuring them that you love them, that you believe in them, that you know they can be successful. However, as the MRI and other medical technology develops, we've been able to study the babe in utero. And we learned that their sense of hearing begins not too long, far into the gestation period. The unborn child is sentient. They can hear sounds. They are aware of the environment their mother is in. And it would not hurt to begin as soon as you know that child is on the way, as soon as you see that you are pregnant, to begin by sending powerfully positive messages to your child. Now, this leads into the second way. So the first way is that you bond with your child. You develop a rapport with them. And this can seem very tiring and overwhelming when you have little ones, because it just seems like they're constantly demanding your time and your attention. But as you spend this time bonding with them, you're giving them a great gift. Now, the second thing is, be very aware of the words that you use. Maybe you've noticed that words have power. They have energy. There are words that calm, can be very calming. They can be uplifting and stirring. And there are words that are crushing. They can hurt like a wound. And children especially are sensitive to the words that they hear, and the tone of voice too, of course. Be aware of any labels you may unintentionally be giving to your children. You may feel like it's flattering to say, oh, he's the smart one, but consider, how does this make the other children feel? And we may feel like we're just joking, but children are very literal. And if, when they're young, we give them a label like messy or lazy or slow, coming from the authority figure in their life, they believe it. They attach it to their sense of who they are. It becomes part of their definition of who they are and what they're worth. So as we use positive words with our children, as we assure them that they have unique abilities that only they can share, as we assure them and help them realize they have divine worth, they are a son or daughter of God, then this helps them as they're learning their identity. And we talked about that bond. As we establish that rapport, we earn their trust. This is key. As they go through the maturing years, they're struggling to learn their identity and what their role is in the world. And they need that safe, wise adult mentor to help them. As they go into puberty and into adolescence, they are faced with decisions that could impact them for the rest of their life. They need someone with experience who's gone down the road of life before them, who will advise them, who has their best interest at heart, someone they can trust. So even when they're little, even when they're exhausting and constantly demanding your attention, we listen to them. And that doesn't mean you're absentmindedly listening while you do the dishes or on your phone or driving. That means you're giving them 100% of your intent, of your attention. You are focused on them. You're absorbing what they're saying. You're listening not to be critical, not to find fault, but to understand. You want to be able to have full empathy, to put yourself in their shoes and understand how you would feel if you were them. And through this act of listening, you're creating this safe space where they know they can share with you their greatest fears, their hopes, their wishes, their dreams. And that is a sacred place to have with your child. That when you have that kind of a bond with them, as they mature, as they go through those turbulent years, when they're faced with so much confusion and stress and angst, they have that anchor to help them, to guide them to making wise decisions so they don't end up with deep regrets later on. This is so valuable for our children. And of course, this is what we want for them. So we allow them to experience our unconditional love for them. And they need that. Now, here is one of the ironies of parenting. When your child is behaving, his behavior is the most unlovable, that's when they need your love the most. They need to know that you will love them no matter what. And as they're faced with these, and as they're going through those turbulent times, and they may say things you don't want to hear, they may tell you that they're not going to choose your values, that they're going to make decisions that you would not have made. And the temptation is to immediately let the emotions kick in. No, you don't mean that. You're too young to understand that. And know that that slams the door to communication shut. We need to listen objectively, always with that unconditional love. And then they work with you, and they're more willing to listen to your experience, your wisdom. So I can't stress that enough. The active listening, the unconditional love, and earning their trust are critical as they get older. Now, quite often as adults, we tend to take life so seriously. And of course, we want them to do their best and be their best. And we're so keenly aware of anything they do wrong. And we're immediately, nope, that's got to be fixed. Nope, they've got to change that. But think of your best friends. Isn't that bond there because you had fun together? Maybe you just had some good laughs, did something silly. Create those memories that your children will carry with them for the rest of their lives. Make sure that you're engaging in activities that you both enjoy, that you're just enjoying being together. You know, we all have our love language, the way we understand and feel appreciated and loved. And it's very easy just to want to communicate with everyone else in your language, but learn their language. You know, some people really want those hugs and kisses. Some people can't be told enough how much they're loved and appreciated. Some people like gifts, especially unexpected surprise gifts. And some people just want to spend time together. Others enjoy an active service. If you really want to tell me you love me, do the dishes. Clean the floors. Do something for me. As we are building, you know, spending this, it doesn't need to be long, but time on a consistent basis, we're learning more about our children, and we're learning what their love language is, and we're communicating to them in that language. And while it's natural to want to harp on them when they make a mistake, flip it and catch them being good. Just praise the socks off of them when they do something right, rather than only noticing when they've done something wrong. And let them hear you bragging about them to someone else. How would that affect a child if they heard their parents bragging about them? How would that help them as they're building their self-esteem and deciding their worth, their personal worth? Now, the last, most important way that we can help our children and protect them is to be an emotionally intelligent parent. You can't teach your child to be confident if you don't feel confident. You can't teach them to manage their emotions if you can't manage your emotions. You know, we don't need to be afraid of emotions. It doesn't do any good to deny them or stuff them. Let's admit, yes, we have emotions. Let's learn to recognize what they are. And emotions are just energy in motion. Then learn how to use that energy in the most effective way. Use it as motivation to reach your goals. And teach your children to do this. Be the emotion coach for your children, first of all, by your example. Let them see how you're honest with your emotions. You regulate them so that you don't hurt yourself or other people. And then you use them as motivation to accomplish, to move forward and reach your goals. And that you have empathy. Demonstrate your empathy as you recognize their emotions and help them work through them. and demonstrate how this helps you get along with others and have positive social interactions. These are ways that we can help our children. We can protect them from all forms of abuse. And we can also help them to become those self-reliant, valiant adults who will help defend the helpless and find life rewarding because they're living true to their values and they're growing and learning. What greater legacy could we leave for our children than that? Now, sometimes, in spite of your best efforts, you have been so careful with your words, so positive with your child, and yet they somehow pick up that little mental program that they're not good enough. And you'll know this has happened because you'll see it in their behavior. Children aren't able to express what's going on. They won't tell you, well, somebody said something happened at school today that really hurt my feelings, so I'm just feeling down. They will act out. When children act out, it's usually because they're hurting. And scolding them because they're acting out doesn't help heal the hurt. Now, they struggle with verbalizing, but there is a tool that has been time-tested and proven to be effective that parents use when they see it through their child's behavior. They can tell something is disturbing the child. There's something going on in their mind that is causing them angst, is not bringing them fulfillment. And this is a tool that takes full use of the level of brainwave activity and finding that time when the child is more open and receptive, and then just feeding. It's like programming a computer. You're just going to feed them that more accurate, helpful, positive truth about they are lovable, they are worthy. And you'll know it's working because you will see a change in their behavior. I love this process. I know it works, and I love telling parents about it. You can learn more about it on my website. Go under services. It's Sleep Talk. It's also called the Golden Process. I invite you to consider your relationship with your children. And if you're doing it, and hopefully all is going well, that's absolutely wonderful. Remember this sacred opportunity we have to be that positive influence in our child's life, allowing them to become all that they can be. So in the next few weeks, we'll be talking about how you nurture your children. When do you start? How do you, what steps do you take? All the way through the teen years, our teens need our nurturing too. So join me again next week at the same time. Until then, love yourself and love your family. This is Emmalou Penrod. Let's make the world a better place by strengthening families. And visit my website, healingyourfamilies.com.